I'd like to say it's good to be here.
Amen.
I truly love this church.
Amen.
And it's sure been good to me. And I love y'all. I'm thankful for this opportunity to come this way. And thank you for calling us to help. Love my brethren, Brother Jeff and Brother Benji. And really enjoyed that message of truth last night. I never heard it preached like that before. But I amened it because I believe it's the truth. So let's pray for these that are seeking God. Let's pray that they won't even hear me, that they'll get to hearing God. And they'll seek God till they know that they've been saved by God's grace. The Lord wants to save them tonight. Not only does he want to save them, but he wants to save each and every person here tonight that's lost. Those that are here tonight that may be confused, he wants to straighten that out for you tonight. He don't want you to be like that. He wants you to know where you stand with him. And I serve a God that will let you know where you stand with him. He is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And he lets you know when things happen. I believe that. I'm sure as I stand before you tonight, I know my God is real. And I know he lets people, when they get saved, he lets them know that they're saved. And he lets them know that we are his children. And I'm thankful for that tonight. So I'd ask you to pray for us. We need the Lord. We've had this on our heart for a few days now. And we thought about how that the Lord might have us to preach about what God has given us to preach tonight. And I would just ask you to pray for us. If you have your Bibles and you want to read along with us, we're going to read about four verses of Scripture in the sixth chapter of the book of John. Very familiar Scriptures. This is something that he told his disciples as they were following him. He let them know that he was the bread of life. That's pretty easy for me to take. When I hear about Jesus being the bread of life, I just take a hold to that and say, yep, that's exactly right. I know that he is my bread. Not only that, he let them know that if you drink of me, you'll never thirst. I believe that too. But there were some of the disciples that didn't follow him no more because it was a hard saying. It's sad tonight. I want you to know tonight that there's many disciples that's not following the Lord no more. Did y'all know that? Some people, if they read this context, they might say that these disciples were just followers of the Lord. They couldn't be saved. Well, I would ask them this. Why did the Lord then look at his 12 and say, will you also go away? So, you see, there's many that has left this cause. And we know that. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful to see the number, what God is doing here and how that he has built upon this church. I can remember the first revival that I ever helped in was at Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church in 1994. And it was back there at that side door was where the pulpit was. Look how she's grown. And I thank God for that. Thank God for this church and what it means to us. But many have left this day and age that we live in. Many don't go to church anymore. Those that's been saved and say they've been saved, they don't come to the house of God. And this happened to these people here. But I want you to consider this tonight. I believe something, God has something for every one of us here tonight. Those that's been saved, the Lord's going to feed you tonight. Those that are lost, he's going to feed you also. I want you to notice this tonight. It says in the 66th verse of this sixth chapter of the book of John, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, he said this, will you also go away? And then I want you to look at Simon Peter's answer. Then Simon Peter answered him, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Listen to what he said. He said, and we believe and are sure that what? That thou art that Christ and the Son of the living God. So I'd ask you tonight, where are you going to go? To whom shall we go? I thought about that many a times in my life. I've thought maybe sometimes because the way I acted or the way that I did, the Lord surely asked me, said, where are you at, Brad? What are you doing, Brad? Are you going to go away too? And I think within my heart, I know for sure I've tried most everything in this life. I've got news for you. I have tried other things, but I can't go nowhere else. And I'm going to tell you this, I don't want to go nowhere else. You know what? He's took care of me. And he took care of you. Ain't he always there? To whom shall we go? I like what Peter said first, though, before he ever said that. You know what he said? We can learn from this. You know, sometimes I try to approach God Almighty and I try to talk to him, and I ain't nowhere close to be able to talk to him because I forget who he is. You ever do that? The first words that came out of Peter's mouth was, Lord. Lord. I thought about this when I studied this. I thought about Apostle Paul. I believe Brother Jeff or one of the brothers preached about that. And they talked about Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says that there was a great light that shined out, and him trembling, he fell to the face of the earth. And Jesus said, why, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know what he said? He said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, that's what got Paul. Paul was astonished. That's what the scripture says. And then he said to him, what did he say to him? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you know what Jesus told him? He said, you go and it'll be told to thee what thou must do. I'm going to tell you, before I can ever truly serve God, I've got to recognize him for who he is, and he'll let me know what I've got to do. One of you, I'm going to tell you what, you won't play footsie with the Lord. You either in or you out. There ain't no in between. I'm telling you that right now. Listen, he is the one. I thought about this. I thought about that song. Y'all know that song, Where Could I Go? I thought about that sometimes, God, when he give me a message, sometimes he'll bring out a song with it. Hey, you know that song says, where could I go? There's three sentences to that song. And one of them, I'm not going to read all of them, but it says, living below in this old sinful world, striving along to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? I don't know about you, but are you ever tempted? Be honest with yourselves. Is there any temptations that come to you? Where do you go? I know what we do. Sometimes we like to go here and we like to go there, but to get rid of those temptations, to get where you need to be with God, you know what you finally have to do? You have to go to the Lord. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? needing a friend. Two stanzas to that. Some say they change the word to say to help me in the end. And some of the song says to save me in the end. I got gospel news for you. You don't have to change that word one bit. The Lord saved me August the 30th, 1983. He saved my soul and I've been saved ever since. But all through my life, many a times has he saved me and delivered me from the sins of this world. And you know what? When he comes back, he's going to save me from every bit of the destruction that's in this world. Did you know that? You don't have to change that word. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. I want you to notice this part here. It says this: neighbors are kind, and I love every one of them. I do. I love every one of you here. I believe I can count on you tonight. I believe if I needed something from you, I believe you'd help me. But you know at the end of that song, that verse there, you know what it says after that? He says, neighbors are so kind and I love them dear. But when I need manna from above, oh Lord, where can I go? Listen, where can you go to get something that comes from heaven? If you want to feel the Spirit of God, who do you got to go to? If you want to be saved by God's grace and you truly want to be saved, you know who you got to go to? You got to go to the Lord. You got to go to him. You got to pray to him. I'm telling you tonight, if you will come and seek the Lord and you call out to him and you'll want him more than anything, he will save you tonight. No questions asked. You know, here's the last stanza to that song. And you think about this. Life here is grand. Boy, it is, ain't it? It is. I'm telling you what, sometimes life is really enjoyable, ain't it? You know, I think about that word. When I think of the word grand, say, I got some grandkids. I don't know about you, if you got any grandkids, they're pretty grand, ain't they? You know, I love my wife, and I love my grandkids, and I love this church, and that's the only reason that I want to be in this world. I want you to listen to that. I was telling them on that Bible study the other day, we was talking about some scriptures, and I want you to know right now, they was talking about this old body. I want you to know, I don't want to carry it over with me. I don't want nothing to do with this old flesh. When I leave this world, I want a new body that won't never sin, that won't never hurt God no more. Don't you? I don't want to carry this over. And you know what? I ain't going to. I'm not going to carry it over. She's going to lay down. So where can you go tonight? These right here at seeking the Lord. We need to pray they'll go to the Lord. That's where they got to go. If you're here tonight and you've been carrying, you ever carried anything around a while? Have you? You ever carried anything for a while and just wouldn't let her go? You know, what's amazing about the scriptures is Jesus said this. I think about this so many times. He says over here in Matthew, the 11th chapter, about the 28th verse, he says, come unto me. Now, those two words, they work the same, don't they? If I'm going somewhere, if I'm going to your house or I'm coming to your house, it means the same thing, don't it? But I want you to notice what it says. It's amazing. To me, Jesus said, come unto me. Matthew 11th chapter, 28th verse, says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he didn't say some. He didn't specify the lost, but he said all. Everybody. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And that word laden there, it means a load. I don't know about you, but you ever carry a load around? These things bother you in life. Temptations come. Things come in your life and they just build up and you get a load sometimes, don't you? And you know, when you got a load upon you, it's really hard to serve God, is it not? It is for me. But what Jesus is, he wants you to come to him and unload that. I've thought about many a times how I went to the Lord and prayed and sought out God with all my heart and got a hold of him and felt his spirit, got up, went back to my seat and took it right back with me. You ever done that? Why? That ain't what he wants. He says, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden. And what will he do? He says, he give us rest. What'd you get when you got saved? Peace. Peace with God. That's what you get. That's what these two right here, that's what they're looking for. They don't have to look for all the lights. Listen, they just need to be looking for peace. That's what I recognize. Yes, I got happy after the Lord saved me. That's the fruits of salvation. But I was hurting on the inside. I had a burden on the inside. I had a load on the inside. And I'd prayed and I'd sought the Lord. But when I truly come to him, when I truly went to him, and you know what he done? He give me peace. Is that not what he give you? He give you peace. Notice what it says. It says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, there's no ifs, ands, and buts. It's I will. These two little girls right here, those that are lost here, you don't have to leave here lost tonight. If you'll come to the Lord, if you'll go to him, and you'll surrender to him and recognize him for who he is, and he'll save you. There's nothing hard about salvation. Did y'all know that? There ain't, really. Surrender to him. Surrender to him. When you feel God knocking in your heart, go to him. Run to him. And want to be saved. And you will be saved. There's no question about it. I believe, I think about this many a times. You know, when God gets a hold of a person and everything's just right and the church is working, they're singing praises unto God, people's testifying and witnessing, and the man of God gets up and he preaches and he tries to do the very best he can, and the Spirit of God is with him and it's working in the church. Then a sinner, if they'll open their hearts up and they'll listen to the word of God, it'll go in there and it'll begin to do a work on the inside. You know what? That's what brings about repentance. You know that it's the goodness of God that brings a person to repent towards God. It's because he loves you. You let that just work on the inside of you. Just open your heart wide open and let him do a work on the inside of you. And listen, when you come forth before him and you recognize him for who he is, you come trembling. I tell you, those nights that I went to the altar, I can remember my heart was pounding out of my chest. I could feel God drawing me. And you know what? I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be saved. You know that Philippian jailer? You know when Paul and Silas, they were singing praises at midnight and they were praying. Did you know if you read those scriptures that that man was asleep? He was. He was asleep. But this earthquake came And when he woke up out of that earthquake, when he heard those singing and those praises of God, there's something that happened to him. There was. First of all, he had trouble. He was going to kill himself. Did y'all know that? He was. He was going to kill himself. Paul and Silas. They said, do thyself no harm. He said, we're all here. You know what? The Bible says that the man has to spring for a light. And then he came in. The Bible says he was trembling. You see, God was troubling him. You know what? The people that he beat, Paul and Silas, and throwed them in jail, you know what? They wasn't just men no more. You know what they said? They said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Was it a big, long, drawn-out process? No. You know what Paul and Silas said? Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou house shall be saved. I believe that tonight. I believe when everything's working, I believe when there's conviction there, and I believe when you come before him, you get to the place where you believe on the Lord Jesus. And then that's when it happens, just like that. God gives you peace. You see, come unto me, take that load that's hurting you and bring it to the Lord. Look what it says. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Is he not? Ain't that the way he is? Boy, I tell you what, if anybody in here can mess up, it's me. Did you know it? I can sure mess up. But boy, I tell you what he can do. He can sure fix me up. When I come before him and I'm honest with him, and I bring that load to him, whether I put it upon myself, whether the Lord has let me go through temptation, whatever it might be, he's there to take that away and to loosen that load and make it easy. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is a balance between the animals. You put them between them. But the Lord is saying his yoke is easy. You know what? What's amazing to me, I'll try to do this world and try to go right through there and try to do it on my own. Boy, it's just rough. It's hard. And boy, when I get hooked up with the Lord and I get right in there with him, he just makes it so easy. Does he not? He makes it so light. He makes it bearable. This world will throw you some punches, won't it? This world will hurt, won't it? Things ever happen to you that hurt you? Well, the Lord's the answer. He's always been, and he always will be. So come unto him, and he will give you rest. Where else can you go tonight? Where else can you go? He is the one. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. I thought about, as Brother Benji last night used, that woman that had an issue of blood. You know, she went here and she went there. Did she not? Yes, let's read and see what it says in the book of Mark. Let's see. It says in a certain woman, 25th verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, it says, a certain woman which had the issue of blood 12 years. She had suffered many things and many sufficiations and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. So she'd went here, and she went there. She tried this and she tried that. She spent all that she had and she grew worse. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever been like that? You tried to fix this and you tried to fix that. You tried to go this way. You tried to get help from your friends. You tried to get help over here. Do you know what? Every single time when you go to the Lord, that's where you really get your help. You know, it's amazing to me when Paul wrote the faith chapter, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it talks about faith and the men of faith. And then he starts out the 12th chapter. And he lets them know, he said, you know what? We've got so great a cloud of witnesses. He's letting them know, look, they seen all this, but guess what? Look what you've seen. And then he says this. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Is that not what we need to do? Do we need to take it to the Lord? Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Where are we really going to go? Where are you going to go tonight? If you're here and you're dealing with things in life, where are you going to go? If you're here and you're lost and you're separated from God, where are you going to go? He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. And let us run this race with patience. And then what do? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's where I started, didn't you? August the 30th, 1983. When the Lord saved me at New Zion Missionary Baptist Church, that's where I started. That's where I started. Yes, I went through my teenage years. Yes, I made a lot of mistakes, and I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I did in my life. But you know what? He changed me that night. When he saved me, he changed me forever. He did. And you know what? I know where to go. There ain't been a time in my life that I ain't went to him and recognized him as Lord, that he ain't fixed it. That he ain't fixed it. Listen, this woman, she realized there wasn't no doctor going to help her. Do you know that? There wasn't no doctor going to help her. But she'd heard about Jesus. Boy, I can tell you right now, if you've been to church here any amount of time, you've heard about Jesus. Because he's preached here. We've got a good pastor sitting there. And he tells you about Jesus. I went to revival here a few weeks ago. I was in revival. And I got to come out here that Sunday morning. And I got striped real good. That's what I told him. I said, boy, I got some good stripes. Do you know what? Them stripes help me. I need them. And I'm going to tell you, you need them. You may not think you do, but you do. You need them. He's the answer for everything under the sun. I'll tell you what, this keeps coming back to me. I don't know how long it was ago, almost a year ago. Boy, I went through some things. I mean, I was battling hard. I mean hard. I was down there at Hartsville. And they was putting a water line in. It wasn't nothing but rock, and they was missing a machine, and it was cutting rock, and there was dust flying everywhere. I was up in the middle of the field. It was a cow pasture. Boy, I was talking to the Lord. I was going in front of my car, back to my car. I said, Lord, I got to have this fixed. I can't stand it no more. I can't stand it no more. I'd got to my point where I had to have an answer from the Lord. You ever get like that? I want to have an answer from the Lord. I got to know what to do, God. Oh, all at once, you know what he said? He said, you can. I don't know what I've done. I can't tell you what I've done. But I can tell you, I didn't notice no smoke flying. All I can tell you is I got happy. I started shouting. I don't even know where I was at. But he released that. The point I'm trying to make is there's nowhere else to go. You can try all you want to try. You can try everything under the sun. But when it comes right down to it, I am his possession. He is my owner. He is my master. And I owe everything to him. I thought about this. I was preaching here a while back. I got to thinking about getting tired. And I thought, boy, you know what? Y'all know that the Lord walked 60 miles to have the correct baptism. Y'all know that? Not only that, but there's no telling how many he walked from the time that he went to Annas. John's the only one that mentions that. You'll study that. There was a man that he went to before he went to Caiaphas' house. All the rest of the Gospels just talks about him going to Caiaphas'. But there was this man named Annas, and he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas. And that's where he went first, and then he went to Caiaphas'. He was beat, and then he was took out that night, and then he was took over to Pilate, and Pilate talked to him a little while, and then he sent him up to Herod. And all the time he was stripped naked. He was beat. He was hurt, as the brother preached about last night. How in the world could I ever think that I could tell him no in anything that he might have ever asked me to do? How could I say that and be right in it? There's no way. He is very lenient with us. Did you know that? I've asked him many a times. I thought, Lord, boy, I've surely messed up this time, ain't I? I'm afraid sometimes, you know, Moses was a good man. Did you know that? Amen. Yes, he was. He pleaded. He pleaded the case. He was just like several times you can find that Moses was a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior. Pleaded for us. But yet, one time, he hit that rock, didn't he? The second time. And I got news for you. Yeah, he was mad. But a whole lot of it was what it symbolized. It was. You don't get him but one time. You'll get saved one time, and that's it. You don't need it but once. And let me tell you, Moses didn't get to go in the promised land. Did you know that? Matter of fact, he tried to talk to the Lord about it one time. You know what the Lord told him? He said, I don't want to hear any more about this. I don't know about you, but I fear God. I don't want to be the one that sails the boat and get almost to the finish line and blow up, mess up. And that can happen to me. And I ask you to pray for me that it wouldn't. I pray for everybody in here that we would go to the Lord and we talk to him, that we recognize him, who he is. Boy, I tell you what, I hear some good praying here at Hilltop. I thank God for that. Amen. You know, when we pray, you know the Bible teaches us how to pray? It does. It tells you what to do. It says go into the closet. You might think, well, I think sometimes we have big old closets today, but when I was a boy, it wasn't big enough for just you to get in that closet. And that's what the Lord's talking about. Get by yourself. And then he says, when thou hast shut the door. Yeah, you got to shut the door. You got to get everything out. And then you got to remember who he is. Thy kingdom come. Then what does it say? Hallowed be thy name. Recognize him for who he is. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And then begin to speak to him. And I tell you, when you do that, you'll see things happen. He'll begin to talk back to you like the brother talked about. You'll be able to feel his presence. I know how this is. I know how it works. As a man of God, these brethren will tell you, we don't always go to the place that we need to go starting out, do we? We try to fix it ourselves most of the time. And then if we don't get it fixed like that, we'll go somewhere else. Sometimes he's our last resort. He needs to be our first. It's what he wants. What he wants. Well, I pray tonight, if you're here and you're saved and you need to seek God and get things worked out with him, you do that. Listen, this altar right here, it ain't just for lost people. Amen. It's for everybody. Yes, I've told people, I think it was, I don't know, six years ago, Brother Mark Horton's son come down here and preached a message. Amen. I ain't forgot it. Amen. He said, all you need is Jesus. I said, when he got through, there's about three or four preachers on the altar. I said, I felt like I need to be under the altar. And that's the truth. Listen, this is open to everybody. We need to be praying. I want to see a great revival here. We didn't listen. Last night was awesome, wasn't it? We got to see somebody get saved. There's more here. And I want to see them get under conviction. We can't make that happen. We've got to pray and we've got to seek out God and we got to recognize him for who he is and realize we can't go nowhere else but to him. I thought about those leprous men, if you're here lost tonight. You know, sometimes you'll hear a statement that, what have you got to lose? Well, I'm not going to tell you that statement tonight because I believe you got everything to lose and everything to gain. If you sit there until you die, then you're going to die and go to hell. There's no in-between. There's no sugarcoating. It's the truth. The brothers before me, they preached about hell, and we better preach about hell. Amen. Because it's the truth. Amen. Jesus preached about hell. He gave an account of a man that went to hell. Did you know that? We need to be concerned about lost people. I would ask you, please pray for me that I would be more concerned about the lost of this world. We need to be concerned about them. But these four men, they were leprous men. And you know what? They were hungry. There was a famine in the land. They'd got to the place. They were hungry. They wanted the Lord. They wanted something to sustain them to eat. And they thought, well, these Syrians over here, let's just go before them and we'll just surrender to them. And hey, you know what? If they let us live, we'll live. But if they don't, we're going to die anyway. Yeah. So what? You know what's so amazing about the Lord is you don't have some tyrants that you got to come up here to. You're coming to a lamb that's already gave his life for you. And he wants you to come. He set everything up for you to come. These lights are on. The church is here. You've already seen people witnessing about how good God is and thanking them for saving their soul, seeing the Spirit work like it worked last night. You've seen all these things. And he's saying the whole time, come. Come. And you're sitting there and there's a knocking. You feel that knocking, but at the same time as you feel that knocking, you know what else you feel? You feel a drawing. Yes. The Bible says you can't come unto me unless the Father who sent me draweth thee. I know there's a drawing there. It happened to me. I remember very well when my heart started knocking that night and that preacher began to preach. There was trouble on the inside of me. My heart was knocking. But at the same time, I could feel the Lord saying, come. And he was drawing me. He wanted to save me. So where are you going to go? Are you going to sit there tonight till you die? Die without God? Lord, have mercy. I can promise you this. There has never, ever been anybody that got saved till they really wanted to be saved. You got to want to be saved. You got to go to him. You've got to come to him. You've got to look to him. It's all about him. The brother preached last night about that balm, about that rose of Sharon, how it brought forth something that would heal everything that you ever hear us preach up here. You know what it's going to boil down to? Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And if you ever get saved, you're going to have to come to him. And you're going to have to realize there's nowhere else for you to go but to him. Let's get a song. I pray tonight, if you're lost and God's dealing with your heart, that you'll come and you'll seek the Lord. I just pray. If you're dealing with something, seriously, be honest with God. I don't know what you're dealing with. I deal with things all the time. I was getting ready to go into a revival probably a month ago, and my wife had took my grandkids to the drive-in or theater on a Saturday night, and I thought, boy, this will be a good time for me to study and pray. I didn't get much studying done. But I tell you what I did do. I got a hold of the Lord. And it didn't just happen by the snap of a finger. I had to get down and I had to plead with him. And I had to pray to him. And I had to show him that I loved him and that he was everything to me. And I began to call upon him and I began to pray. And you know what? Those things that had separated from us, we come back together. And I felt peace with him, you know. And I was ready to go preach. Before then, I couldn't do that. You see, I don't believe that you can truly serve God unless your heart's in it. I don't believe it. I've tried it. It won't work. I love this church. And I got confidence in you. And I know that you love the Lord. I just pray tonight that we'd all follow the Lord and realize there's nowhere else to go but to him. And if you're lost tonight and God's dealing with your heart, please seek the Lord till you know that you've been saved while we stand together and sing.